welcome to another edition of the Restoration Church Life podcast. I'm sitting here with
Whitney King
and
Catherine Packard.
Whitney and Catherine. So, how long have you ladies been in DC?
I've been here about 5.5 years.
5.5 years? You came here originally for school?
I did.
And you stuck around?
I did.
Catherine Packard, you've been here for?
5.5 years.
You came here for school too?
Yeah.
Okay. And you both decided to stick around. So, you're long timers.
For DC standards.
Yes. All right. So we wanted to follow up on a podcast that we recorded a couple of weeks ago on DC 127. So just briefly, what is DC 127? Hopefully our people know, but if they don't, what is DC 127?
DC 127 is a movement of churches in the city that are responding to the needs in the foster care system, related to the foster care system.
What are some of the churches that are involved?
The district church.
They kind of spearhead it, right? So
that's right.
Pastor Aaron Graham, his wife Amy, and then they have, is DC 127, would it be a parachurch organization out of district, or is it its own thing?
I'm not sure officially. The way that they are thinking about it and encouraging us to think about it is that it's kind of its own thing, and then it's not its own organization. It's really about equipping churches. We understand that we are working through the church, that communities, sustainable, life-giving communities, God ordained those to come through families and churches. And so this is a network trying to unite and equip churches, not take over a role that the church ought to be filling.
Gotcha. And the director of DC 127 is?
Chelsea Geyer.
Yeah, and she was on the last podcast. So
right.
are there other staff people there? A few?
Very few other staff. Yeah. They have 3 total staff and rely very heavily on a volunteer network from churches.
Cool. Yeah, good. Cool. So there's staff the way they try to operate through the church, relying on the church for the church. Cool. And then DC 127 has a program called Safe Families that we've also talked about, and we'll get into more on that in a minute. But what is Safe Families?
Exactly. So Safe Families, if you think about the foster care system, is sort of twofold. The response being twofold is assisting those currently in the foster care system, but also trying to make sure that people don't enter the foster care system unnecessarily. So Safe Families is a program where if a family has not been accused of abuse or neglect, but is really in a place of crisis and tension, we're hoping to have people step in, build a network around them so that entering the foster care system is not necessary. So you've got host homes who will care for children. Parents enter this voluntarily. You know, their kids aren't being taken away, but host homes care for children. Coaches help coordinate. Family friends help be there for the parent. You know, it's easy sometimes to focus just on kids, but families are whole families. So that's what Safe Families is focusing on, preventing people from having to enter a foster care system.
Cool. Good. And so, Catherine, why do you care? Why are you involved at any level with DC 127?
Well, I think it's definitely a need that we've seen in the city. You know, I know other people in our church have been involved with the pregnancy centers at various locations throughout the city. And we've seen families who have come through that. You know, we've had Flower come through, who was not part of the Safe Families program, but was a single mom here with a young child who was just looking for some community, looking for some assistance. And it's, I think both of us felt like it was a need that we could meet. It was something that we could do. And so why would we not, if we had an opportunity to really help build families and safe spaces for kids and for parents, and really through a model that's built in a way that tries to reflect who God is and who God has ordained, or what God has ordained the church to be, that it's really about equipping churches, like Whitney was saying, and that it's a model that we can really get behind.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things we've loved is, one, just the way they're trying to use the church, rely on the church, get the gospel there, and then also just the way that many people in our church have taken ownership, right? We don't have like a DC 127 program yet. Maybe we'll have a deacon of DC 127 one day as it continues to grow. Who knows? But that's one thing. So over the past couple years, I guess, what is DC 127? Is it two and a half years old?
I'd say, yeah, probably right at about 3 years this summer.
Yeah, I remember Nathan and I went to one of the first kickoffs with Aaron and some other folks, and just been neat to see how it's grown. So what are some other things that our church has done? So I think it was last fall or the fall before, we did a prayer gathering.
That's right. We hosted a prayer gathering, not just for our church, but for other churches in the city. We have had folks hear about the different opportunities through DC 127 and as a result go and work with programs who focus on mentoring kids in the foster care system.
Yeah, so the Griders do that. Berkeley and Megan are mentoring some kids in through an organization in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of opportunities to respond with physical items for other churches in the network who are hosting families for foster families and safe families, host homes. So being able to be a part of this larger network is kind of each church is having a few volunteers. We need to rely on this bigger picture. And so we've been able to respond to a lot of those types of needs.
And they're all Southern Baptist churches just like ours, right?
No. No. They are not, but they are all churches who are very committed to the gospel and seeing Washington, D.C. change by the gospel.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I've loved. Just the longer that I'm a pastor, not only have I seen that each local body has many parts and various members, but I've seen just in my short time as a pastor, even that's the universal body as well, mm-hmm. that different churches have been given different passions and different graces and excel in different things. And so I praise God for churches like the district church that are going to do things that maybe we wouldn't spearhead, but they pave the way and we can get involved with. And so I praise God for churches. It's neat to see that. So in some ways there has been some things that our church has done very practically, but it's gotten real, if that's real, for
real.
You two ladies. Yes. It's gotten really tangible, here recently. And so when was it that you went through the process to become a safe family?
We spent most of last year in some level of processing, and I would say we were official last November.
Okay. So just very briefly, Catherine, what was it that you had to go through to become a safe family home?
Yeah, our process was a little interrupted, but it involved agreeing to do this and meeting with somebody from DC 127 to just talk about what that would look like, since we're not a family, since we live in an apartment, we don't have a yard, we don't already have kids. There are just some logistical things that we had to talk through and figure out what various things might look like. We don't have a stay-at-home mom, so what do we do if we have a kid who's not in school? And, you know, what does that look like? We did background checks, we did fingerprinting, we're registered on the Child Protective Registry. We did a second visit to kind of solidify things. I think that's it.
So you did all that.
Yes. A quick plug on the process. It doesn't have to take many months.
No.
There were three roommates coordinating. There are lags in time.
But it's actually an easy
process.
Yes,
easy.
You did.
Yeah.
It is. No, it was really easy. It was actually a lot easier than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and in some ways, you want it to be thorough.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we're taking children and placing them, so you want the parents to have confidence that this process has vetted and ensured, as best as we can tell,
absolutely,
that they're going to a safe family or a safe home.
Mm-hmm.
It'd kind of be ironic if it wasn't safe.
Yeah, and I think we've felt very equipped to be thrown into this without having children and being able to feel like we had space to ask, like, help us think about just the practicalities of childproofing our home. Help us think about the practicalities of, like, what do we feed children? Like, we don't, you know, what do kids like? What do kids not like? When's an appropriate nap time? Things
like
that.
Pizza and ice cream.
Right.
I like that too.
Yeah. Yes.
So the part of the process was just us asking some of those questions as well.
Cool. So, and then by God's grace, you had a child come into your home. So tell us what happened, what's been going on, the situation. Yeah.
So, we've had a little girl who's almost 2 years old, be a part of our lives, quite a bit recently. Mm-hmm. And, it's actually kind of funny. We originally entered this situation as respite care for another family in the network who was providing respite care for this mom and her little girl. So the mom has a chronic condition. She's in and out of the hospital. And some routine stays had turned into longer stays. And So the host home that was hosting the little girl found themselves in a situation where they were keeping her for longer than expected. And one of the beautiful things, again, about not just one local body, but many local bodies serving the same God and for the same purpose, is that we were able to be called in and to help assist the situation. So far things have stabilized a little bit, but what that has looked like for us so far is a couple full weekends of caring for this little girl and an impromptu weeknight. And we'll do some babysitting as well, but that's how we got involved.
So there was a mom and a 2-year-old daughter.
Yes.
The mom has a chronic condition, and so she was having to go in and out of the hospital. And so a family from another church said, hey, we'll take care of your daughter while you're in these visits.
Right.
And long story short, that became a little bit more frequent. And so Restoration Church, particularly you two, were able to come alongside that family and this other local church to continue to care for the daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah, what a beautiful picture of serving as Christ served. That's pretty awesome. So what have you learned personally, spiritually? What has God revealed to you about your own heart, right? So I've got some children. God uses them to reveal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you learned in the, yeah.
I'll say two things, though I'm sure there are many more, and I will discover many more. First would be our physical limits, that I am weak and easily breakable with not much sleep. I called my mom many times over our longest weekend and was just baffled at how little time it took to for me to feel very weak. I will also say that I surprisingly discovered in myself that I think I kind of expected that if I was doing a good thing for God, that it either wouldn't be that hard or it would be hard in a really interesting way. But that's not true, because it is hard. And, you know, an hour and a half of trying to get to bed is not really that interesting or adventurous, but it is hard. And so just realizing an increased conviction that, you know, Lord willing, we're on this earth for decades, and we don't graduate from the gospel. We don't get beyond reading our Bible and praying and meeting with others. We glorify God in whatever it is in the day to day. And one day that may be going across the world, but for me, it was trying to patiently get a 2-year-old to go to sleep while remembering how patient God is with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I think the idea of how fragile we become. You know, that's why I love Psalm 121. The Lord does not slumber. I do, because I'm not God. And so if I don't get my slumbering, I'm a bit cranky at times. Yeah. So anyway. Catherine, how about you? Anything you've learned?
Yeah. I mean, definitely seeing a lot of my own weakness, a lot of my own shortcoming. Also seeing a lot of myself in this 2-year-old, realizing that I often treat God that way, that, you know, when I don't see the whole picture, when I don't get my way, I'm inclined to throw a tantrum in an adult way, in a way that, you know, my maturity hides it. But I've just seen so much of my own sinfulness, my own impatience, my own arrogance kind of put on display in a mirror through her. And then also, you know, seeing the flip side, that I think we often relegate, like, God is patient because he has to be, because that's who he is, but it doesn't cost him anything. Like, that patience costs something.
Oh, yeah.
That's really hard when that 2-year-old looks at me and I say, don't do that, and she does it anyways. Like, that costs something to exercise grace, to exercise forgiveness, to exercise patience in those moments. And so to just see and taste the gospel in a fresh way, that way, has been really powerful.
Mm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I think I saw last time you had her at church, I think I may have seen a hand or two come towards you just in one of these tantrums, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But it costs something to not, not retaliate. Yeah. You said two things. Was there something else that you?
No, this is two things. I get really tired, and a little vain in the way I expect my service to look.
Oh, yeah. Not good. So how have you been encouraged by Restoration Church as a whole in this endeavor?
Oh, so many ways. First, I will say that I mean, the fact that we're even able to do this is kind of incredible. Yeah. I mean, I'm almost 30. I honestly expected family to look a lot different at this point in my life, but Restoration Church has spent years being my family and showing me that that looks different in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and has made it, as strange as it looks from the outside, very natural for Catherine and I to be able to work together in ways that look really different than just, you're my roommate, we go in and out. I mean, we serve one another and sacrifice and coordinate in ways that I don't think are natural in a worldly sense. And so I think Restoration Church has prepared me personally for that. In this particular moment, there's been this excellent cadre of moms who have been very, you know, it's funny, I've babysat all of their children before, but they have still patiently let me ask, you know, what do I feed her, and bedtime's not working, and what do I do now? And they've swarmed us in a really excellent way to make sure we're doing okay. And more than just the moms, everyone has asked and I believe have prayed, and it's been really encouraging to know that though we're stepping out in a particular way, we don't step out alone in terms of our body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, if you look at it from the outside, this makes no sense, right? Two young ladies living together, both have jobs. You know, when the world would tell us, you know, work for the weekend and then kind of do whatever you want, for you guys to give up your weekends or some weeknights even and have to coordinate and just make things more difficult when you don't have children on your own. And you have to thought, like, well, do I feed them pizza for breakfast? Is that good or bad? Because that's what I would do, right? I mean, just all those types of things. And so I praise God for God's grace in you and the way you're working that out. So, yeah. Other ways you've been encouraged, Catherine?
Definitely have seen just so many people ask about how things are going and how they can help us. People who have offered to do diaper runs and make us food and offered to, you know, help us. Even people who are, you know, maybe not ready to step in as a host home, maybe not ready to step in as a family coach, but people who have said, like, hey, if you just want a buddy, like, why don't I just be an extra set of hands? I'll come over and we can just hang out, like, on your couch. I'll bring pizza. It's fine. I'll just be an extra body to help deflect some of the practical needs that come with being handed a 2-year-old that's not yours.
Yeah.
And again, the moms in particular have been a great resource for just questions of, like, is this normal? Is this okay? What do we do here? Offering tips on, I went to the zoo with Laura the other day and learned all the mom tricks about
there
the zoo.
There you go. Yeah.
Which I never would have thought to ask, but it was her idea. She was like, let's go. Let me show you. I think the excitement and the willingness when we haven't had to twist anybody's arm for anything. It's all been extended with grace and with excitement. Yeah. So that's
praise
been
God.
Encouraging.
Yeah. Amen. Do you know how long this little girl will continue to come play on the weekends? Because it is all play, right?
Absolutely.
This is for at least one of us.
That's right.
No, we don't know how long. There's a lot of moving pieces in this situation. But while the mom's health seems to improve, some of those things we would expect to be ongoing. There's not a natural support system in her life, so we expect to be engaged on some level for a while. We don't know what that will look like, but it could be fairly long-ish term. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Anything else you want to say about DC-127 or Safe Fam? Buddy's shaking her head yes.
There
and
is.
So, okay. All right.
There is. So, this church network working together thing is beautiful and awesome, and we praise God for it. But there's something that works really well about a group of volunteers being able to come around one family from one church, because what the hope for DC-127 or the Safe Families program is that once you've exited a time of crisis, you're still walking your daily life in a community of support, if that's what this family is looking for. And the church is built to do that. And so the fact that we have this network is amazing, but there's still such a need. And there have been many calls for Safe Families in the past couple of months that would be a great fit for what the program intends to do, but we don't have, the network doesn't have enough families yet, homes yet, volunteers yet. And so, not everyone is meant to do this, but if anyone is at all interested or compelled, I would really encourage anyone to dig in and ask why not, to consider what that might look like, because there is a need. There are many needs in the city. This isn't about guilt, but this is, you know, we're built to live for so much more than ourselves. And there's something very radically reorienting about entering into something like this that I would just encourage people to consider.
And they can come talk to you, Whitney, you, Catherine, David Hill, Catherine Feliciano.
Megan Roberts.
Megan Roberts. They can talk if you're in Maryland. The Griders do some stuff at another place. Yeah, so others involved. Good. Well, as we just read Philemon not too long ago, I love what Paul writes to Philemon in verse 7. He says, Paul speaking, he says, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love," he says, "my brother," but I'll say my sisters, "because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." And so I think that's true, is that when we joyfully obey God, others watching that, they're refreshed through the joyful obedience. And so that's true of me towards you. I've been refreshed by your obedience, your joyful obedience to God. And so know that you're impacting not just Ava and not just her mom and the safe families, but even those that are watching you love God. So praise God for that. Yeah. Well, Restoration Church, we love you. We are thankful for you. And this is one of the many ways that we seek to make disciples that delight in the supremacy of Christ. And so join us in this way with DC 127 or some other way. But let's continue making disciples that delight in the supremacy of Christ locally and globally. Amen.